You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialised fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. This is the final instalment of Did We Break the End of the World from Defying Doomsday. And you know what? I highly recommend you get a copy of that book. It's awesome. My story is, you know, I'm very proud of my story, but there are so many way better, much more interesting, really cool stories. It's just wall-to-wall awesomeness. So Defying Doomsday, it's a great book. You should read it. Part 6. They convene in the foster mother's floral living room, with Aisha and Billy perching on one couch and Jin on the other. He knows they did it, so he can see their lips, but it still feels like they're the team now, with him as the outsider. "So you know each other," he starts out. "From before?" Aisha and Billy exchange glances. "We were in the same foster home," she admits, until the pulse took out all the power, leaving a generation of teenagers without communications, electricity, or functional foster parents. "You were family," Jin says, a little bitterly because Aisha has been his only family for the last 8.5 months. He doesn't know which of them he's most jealous about right now. Billy blows out a breath. "Jin," he says calmly, "do you ever think there's something really weird about all this?" "What? You mean living in a post-apocalyptic suburban wasteland with only teen scavengers for company?" Jin drawls. "If there's going to be any more kissing in their future, it's probably for the best that Billy knows up front about his tendency towards sarcasm." Based on the impatient eye roll he receives from Billy, that probably isn't going to be an issue. "Yes," says Billy, "but I mean our life before the world ended. Does it make sense no one's ever been outside the bounds of this city? That our world was populated by suburbs full of Australian teenagers and robot foster parents? Does it make sense that none of us have ever met a kid under 12, or we don't know anyone human over the age of 18? That no one remembers life from before they joined their foster family?" Jin has honestly never thought about it before because, yeah, that was how life worked before the pulse. It was how life worked in TV shows and books, except the really old books, like the detective novels he loves. He always assumed they were pure fantasy. Now he looks at the thin line of Aisha's mouth, and he realises that for her this isn't a new idea. "Yeah," she says softly. Her voice is nicer than he'd ever imagined, musical and sweet, unlike the rest of her. "I know you're wondering why I didn't talk. I needed the silence. Needed space to get my head together. I walked out on Billy, on what was left of our family. The only reason I could stand to be around you was you didn't expect me to speak. I wasn't ready to deal with what happened the night it all ended. Whatever it is, please tell me now. Jin means it. He does. Even if he's pretty sure he'll feel worse once he knows." "You're the one who likes to talk," said Aisha, kicking Billy lightly on the foot. Billy gives her a friendly shove, and she doesn't even draw a knife on him. Yeah, Jin is an idiot for not spotting before that they're sibs. "We're a failed experiment," Billy tells Jin. "At least, I don't know, maybe not failed, but they were done with us either way. We were an artificially created generation. That's why no little kids, no adults. Our whole world, there's only the city centre and 8 suburbs. They faked it all." "I think they ran out of funding," says Aisha. "Or maybe we were wildly successful and they always meant to do this. Always meant to send the pulse on us on their way out, like the world's shittiest mic drop." "How do you know all this?" Jin blurts out. "How do you even..." "We found the scientists," said Billy. "Didn't even mean to, not really. I wandered off once when we were at State Stadium for a soccer game." "You mean you were looking for a clean wall to tag?" Aisha scoffs. "I found this whole lab, I guess, set up behind the stadium wall. They had cameras looking into the homes, bunch of other creepy stuff, but only monitoring the houses with foster families. The ones with humans," Aisha adds. "The kids, like us." Aisha and I sneaked in a few times after that, trying to figure out what they were up to. We didn't even know they were robots like the foster mothers. Not then. Not till after. We were there that night, Aisha says flatly. They were uploading the last of their data. They even talked about setting off the pulse, but we didn't know what it meant. Didn't know. Disposable adults, says Billy, biting off the words. One big fucking self-destruct button. We were halfway home when the pulse hit. The world ended because they meant it to end. His grin is savage. For the first time, he looks as dangerous as Aisha. Only we fucked it up for them. All of us. The whole... He waves an arm around to indicate the world around us. They left us without foster parents or power or rations. And I guess they expected us to die off here in their little fake suburbia. The first winter should have taken the last of us out. But instead we adapted this whole teen scavenger mobster shithole economy that makes no real sense to me. All I know is you and Aisha rock stars at it. Good thing we're not all dedicated to the starving artist mentality, says Aisha. Jin nods slowly, taking it in. Did we break the end of the world, he says aloud, and is rewarded by one of those amazing smiles that reminds him all over again how goddamn beautiful Billy is. It was supposed to end, and it didn't. We wouldn't let it, says Billy. It's not the miracle you think it is, Aisha groans. It's just humans surviving. It's what people do. But they didn't think we were people, Billy says, sounding almost too excited by the idea. He doesn't see what Jin does, the look of stiff discomfort crossing Aisha's face. They didn't think we were people. So what's happening New Year's Eve? Jin asks, to push the conversation past the awkwardness. Billy leans forward, brimming with energy. It's all still there, the lab behind the stadium, full of deactivated scientist robot bodies, but full of other stuff too, tech that we need. If there's any chance of getting the power back on, of fixing this fucking mess, then it's in there waiting for us. I haven't been able to get in. Something about the pulse jammed all the electronic locks, but I reckon Aisha can do it. And we become heroes of the apocalypse, Aisha drawls. Billy turns on her, impatient. Sorry, am I getting in the way of your drug-dealing empire? Do you seriously have something better to do? I'm not the one kidding himself. He can rebuild society from the ground up. We can try. Maybe we can do better. Maybe we can have hot showers again. I'd settle for that. We can aim higher than survival, Aish, can't we? Maybe we should have stopped them killing us in the first place, she snaps back, shaking with fury and, what, guilt? We were there that night. If we'd put the pieces together better, if we hadn't been so scared, maybe we could have stopped them. Jin is used to Aisha being amazing at everything, all super confident and capable. Turns out she's been nursing a huge guilt complex because she couldn't prevent the end of the world. He wants to hug her, but they don't do that. Instead, he says, "Can you get me into this lab to look around?" Billy grins at him. "Thought you'd never ask, babe." At Aisha's scoffing sound, he adds, "What, you think I didn't notice you teamed up with someone who knows how electrical shit works? You haven't given up on fixing the world, Aish, so let's get on with it." He turns back to Jin, words spilling out of him in excitement again. "There are other kids like you, right? Who know about tech or engineering, so we can put a team together." "I know a few people. We can track them down through the trade markets, and maybe with your wall messages." "Yeah, I figured you would. You and Aisha are practically famous. Everyone at that market knew who you were. You've already picked New Year's Eve as our deadline. It was all I could think of, to get enough kids in one place, amped up to pull our skills. We have to stop acting like it's all teams and gangs. Start thinking like a community." "We can get the power back on," says Jin, "even in a small way, something to give them all hope." "And start organising," says Billy. "We need to get some fucking crops happening before the next winter. Make the most of the back gardens we've been left with." "Oh my God," says Aisha loudly, jumping to her feet. "It was bad enough when there was just one of you." She glares at them both. "I'm going to take a bath, and eat some of that chocolate Jin scored today. Maybe take a Valium, while you two indulge in this annoying world-saving shared brain strategy session. When you come up with a plan that involves me hitting, stabbing, or drugging someone, let me know. She slams her way out of the room, only to return 3 seconds later to add, and you'd better get all the kissing out of your system during daylight hours, because if you don't keep your hands to yourselves when we're sharing a bed, I'm going to cut your fingers off. The last sentence is accompanied by viciously accurate hand signs for cut and fingers before the door bangs behind her again. The boys sit there in a haze of shared embarrassment until they hear the bath upstairs starting to fill. I preferred it when she didn't want to talk to me, Jin whispers. They crack up, laughing quietly because they don't want to risk her yelling at them again. So, saving the world, Billy says. You in? Yes, Jin signs, and rockets off the floral couch to throw himself into Billy's lap. Only I'm thinking. Thinking is good. Billy's hand traces up his spine over the top of Jin's t-shirt. I'm thinking we should start tomorrow, Jin says breathlessly, taking out his hearing aids and shoving them into his pockets. Billy smirks at him and signs, sounds good, Jin. With his hands still wrapped around each other in the sign for precious, that also means Jin, he hooks his wrists around Jin's neck and reels him in for another kiss. They've already broken the end of the world. Surely there's time for a little making out before they start building a new one. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. That was the last installment of Did We Break the End of the World from Defying Doomsday. So you can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books, and if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. Next week, we are starting on Let Sleeping Princes Lie, which is a Castle Charming serial. I recommend that you have either read or listened to the previous Castle Charming serials, Glass Slipper Scandal and Dance Princess Dance, which are available right here on this podcast, or a free ebook download through Patreon, or you can purchase the ebooks for a very reasonable price from any ebook stores. Okay, so I'm going to see you next week for more fairy tales and spinning wheels and secrets revealed with Let Sleeping Princes Lie. See you then. Bye.